There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast. I don't mind carving.
For a second there, I thought you weren't going to do one, and then you just snuck it in at the end.
Snuck it in. I don't mind carving the pod.
Very clever. Ed Gamble there.
Oh, little James A. Caster. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, where we invite a special guest to tell us their dream meal.
Their favourite starter, main, dessert, side, drink. And today, our guest is Susie Ruffle.
You stayed in rhythm all the way through, and I really appreciated it, man.
You can take the drummer off of the drum kit. You can't take the drum kit out of the drummer.
You can't take the drum kit out of the drummer.
Natural rhythm.
That's awful. Susie Ruffle is a wonderful comedian.
Amazing comedian. We've known Susie for a very long time.
And I think we all started out at a similar time, didn't we?
Yeah, she's now been smashing it on shows like Mock the Week and Roast Battle.
Live at the Apollo.
Live at the Apollo. Actually, Mock the Week. Has she been on Mock the Week?
Yeah.
Yes!
All the main ones. She's just done all the main ones, and she's been brilliant on all of them. Yes. But I wonder what her food tastes will
be. Well, I hope her food tastes don't involve celery, Ed, because that's our secret ingredient this week, and she'll get kicked out the restaurant if she says celery, even though I like celery.
I don't like celery. And I tell you what, there's a caveat on that. I don't like raw celery. I understand that sometimes you have to add celery when you're cooking like something like a sauce or a stew or something, and it boils down to almost tasteless. But, you know, raw celery can absolutely get out of my head.
I like it, but, you know, I'm happy to stand by you on this one. If Susie says celery, she's out of the restaurant.
Thanks, man. Let's have a little listen to the off-menu choices of Susie Ruffle. And we have a new customer in the Dream Restaurant. It's Susie Ruffle.
Hello. Oh my god, a genie!
Welcome!
Oh my god, there's a genie!
Ah, so good to finally have someone surprised to see me and delighted to see the genie.
Over the moon, love. I've heard loads about you. Can I ask, first of all, where do you live when you're not in... Are you in a lamp?
Oh no, I'm in a magic eight ball. Usually, oh, okay. I'm in a little magic
not
eight ball.
Not usually, actually. I mean, I'd say that changes every episode where the genie lives. You have been in a lamp?
Yeah, I've been in a lamp and a gravy boat and stuff before, but in between episodes, I live in a magic eight ball because that's how us genies make our money on the weekends.
Right, okay.
But I just want to clear a few things up about genies. They're in the lamp all the time unless someone rubs them, and then they're out the lamp. They don't go into the lamp and then someone rubs the lamp and then they come out. That would just be extra added step.
Wait, what?
No, you'd be in the lamp the whole time. Hmm? You'd be in the lamp the whole time.
No, I can be poured into another
you
vessel.
Poured?
Vessel, yes.
Can you choose to go in the magic eight ball after the restaurant closes?
Yep. Yep.
And then where do you go?
I have to clock in when I go into the magic eight ball.
Right.
Clock in.
What, like an old factory?
Yep. Like, yep. Yeah, a little old factory. And then I wait in there, and then people shake it, and then I tell them their fortune.
What people?
Just people come and ask me questions as a magic eight ball.
But it's a magic eight ball sat in the middle of a shut restaurant. Who's coming in?
Occasionally, you know, the cleaners. Cleaners will shake it.
So
should I carry on cleaning this restaurant?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Susie Ruffles coming. I want it spick and span.
Yeah,
and it is. It's gorgeous in here.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you could.
Thank you very much.
Well, welcome, Susie. You've met the genie. The genie's popped out of the lamp.
A pleasure to see you.
/ magic eight ball there.
Do you like a clean restaurant? Is that very important to you? Like,
oh, so important.
Yeah.
Actually, as a child, I went to. I'd seen this TV show of, like, you know, when they're like, look at how dirty these kitchens are. Oh, let's make a show.
Yeah.
They've got like a rating of one on their hygiene thing. And so I watched that when I was about 9 and became really concerned that restaurants were dirty.
Yeah.
And so then...
Apologies.
Sorry.
It's just, there's no dust.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, that was the worst time to cough.
Yeah. I also have some questions about who's going to cook my food.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
So I was... at this restaurant with my dad as a child, and I said, I'm really worried that the kitchen's not clean. And we were in an Indian restaurant, and I kept saying, I'm really worried the kitchen's not clean because there's TV shows about kitchens not being clean. And then the guy that owned the restaurant was like, oh, come and see the kitchen. So they took me into the kitchen and they showed me how you make a naan bread. It was great.
Oh, wow. Great.
So you got to be there. And was it clean?
It was. Can I see the kitchen here before we carry on?
Yeah, let's open the door. A little look.
That is sparkling.
A little look around.
That is lovely.
Do you want to learn how to make a naan bread? Oh, you already know.
Yeah.
No point. No point teaching you.
The thing is, it's your dream restaurant as well. So the restaurant is as clean, exactly as clean as you'd want it to be.
It is. That's what's great.
It's the kitchen of your mind. So it's you who's made it sparkling. Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you look at our food and hygiene, if you look at this hygiene certificate, you can see it's 5 stars and there's your face next to it.
Yeah.
Because you're the...
with two thumbs up.
You're the government body that we're reporting to.
Yeah.
Government body, what's my nickname?
Well, welcome the government body to
Thank you. Dream restaurant.
Are you a food head?
I mean, I eat food with my head, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I've been saying to people, are you a foodie? And I think that bristles people a little. They say, oh no, I'm not a foodie, because foodie would suggest like being quite a snob about food, I think. Mm. So I'm trying to say food head like it's a cool thing.
It's Britishness, not a thing. Isn't it? It's difficult being British.
Yeah.
With stuff like that, because most British people, we have this, like, we don't want to be considered snobs or like pretentious. Mm. And then the people who do, they go all in.
Yeah.
Because they decide, I'm just going to be a posh old snob. And then they don't care.
Yeah.
And then they're horrible. I mean, I know that Susie likes food, me and you.
Yeah, we've been for food a number of times.
We tried to work our way through an entire menu, didn't we? Yeah, over time.
Yeah, not in one day.
What was the menu in question?
How do you say it?
Shack for you.
Shack for you.
Shack for you.
And lovely restaurant.
Yeah, we had a very
great time.
I'd say it's one of my top three in London, I'd
say.
Yeah,
it's very good. It's very good.
And we Susie chose the... I remember you were like, let's get the aubergines.
Yep.
We got that.
Love the aubergines.
Had a great time when you're like, let's come go back here again. And we'll just choose different things. Because we're quite impressed that we'd chosen a bunch of different dishes at random. They were all good. Like,
all good.
Maybe everything's good on here. And so we'd go back and we'd always order something different. And we didn't hit upon a dud, did we?
No.
I don't think there are any dud dishes.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. So I guess I am a bit of a food head.
Yes, I think you'd say a food head. I think you're a food
head. Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a food head. I like food. Mm. I enjoy cooking. And I like treating myself to a nice dinner. I would say going out for dinner is one of my favourite things to do, mm-hmm. rather than like going to the club or something. You know.
Also, I don't think you can combine the two things.
Dinner and the club?
I don't think you can have dinner and the club.
No.
Because if you have the dinner, I want to go to home.
I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
So I'd say, it's one of my favourite things to do and something me and my girlfriend do quite a lot, go to a nice restaurant.
Have you got like a regular restaurant that you go to, the two of you?
No, we'll try and find a new one.
Great.
That's sort of the vibes, something someone suggested.
Was there, when you first started seeing your girlfriend, was it like a romantic?
Yes, when we first started going out, she took me to Fumo, which I thought was a great baller move of like, I'm going to take you to a really nice restaurant.
Right.
And
that is a baller move.
That's a great baller move. And sort of did it's like Italian tapas.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Small plates.
Yeah, sure.
Small plates, yeah?
Yeah. Tapas. One of my other drag names.
Small plates is a great
That's
drag
very
name.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm covering my small boobs. Small plates, sharing. Sharing's quite nice on a date as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're like,
absolutely.
So
also, it just lets the other person know that you're not one of those people
mm.
who was going to order for yourself and then not share.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be with someone like that forever.
No.
Well, the problem for me is that I could do small plates on a date to show the other person that I'm not the sort of person who's just going to eat all the food and wants to order and just not share.
But you are I am that person.
Sure. You are that person.
So why lie?
I've shared food with you before.
Yeah. And I've had...
James was very hungry.
Yeah.
He went home crying.
Also, apologies to announce this, James. I'm not trying to sleep with you. So I don't control myself in these situations.
Mm. The genie looks sad.
Yeah. Oh, this is the curse of being a genie. No one ever wants to sleep with the genie.
He's not normally blue, but he's got a shade of blue.
Yeah.
That's why I always over-order at those sharing places. So Shatfu is quite a sharing place, isn't it? Mm. And I always over-order. My technique for that is just start ordering and watch the waiter's face every single time you order something, and you can notice little changes in their face. If they suddenly wince, you go like, okay, one more, and then that's enough.
Yeah.
We once went to Shack for You and with Nish and ordered too much. We couldn't finish.
So much.
That, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
We went crazy.
Yeah, we went crazy.
We ordered so much and we knew we'd done it.
Yeah. It was a really good day.
Yeah. Fumo sounds great. I wish I'd gone.
It's really nice. It's really nice.
Sorry you weren't invited, James.
No, I'm getting FOMO. Could get a FOMO?
Oh, yes.
I hated that. I really hated that.
Minutes ago, I planned on saying that. I knew I was going to say it. Well, can we start you off with some water? Would you like sparkling or
You haven't offered to take my coat, which I find very rude. You offer to take everyone else's.
Actually, the genie's fairly inconsistent with...
I don't offer to take everyone's coat.
Yeah. Oh, is it people that you like the most?
No. Some people... I actually only offer to take their coats if I think their coat is bad.
Yeah. And,
do you want me to take that? And,
do you want me to take that and burn it? Is that what you mean?
incinerate it immediately.
So do you just whisper the end of it?
Yeah,
would you like
me
to take that so I can burn it?
And then burn it forever because you look awful. But you look so good in your coat, I thought you would want to keep it. But if you want me to take
it... No, I don't need to burn it.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
Always
hello.
Burn them.
Thank you for letting me come to your restaurant.
Okay, would you like some water?
I'd love some water.
To put your coat out when it's a blaze.
Yeah.
Sparkling or still?
Sparkling.
No. Wow, straight away mm-hmm. as well. No messing around.
Very confident when you said...
And you fixed me with a stare there as if to say...
Go on then.
Go on, see if you can mess with my choice there.
No, I think it quenches your thirst more than normal water.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, this is interesting. We haven't had this reason yet.
No,
because
it's clearly not true.
I like it.
That's not true. Otherwise, you'd see like people on the Tour de France glugging down a big bottle of bad water.
Oh, that's a good point, Susie.
Are we using the Tour de France as our benchmark for everything?
Well, they're thirsty.
Yeah.
Oh, so sportsmen don't use
sparkling water, do they? I'm thirsty in a different way.
Okay, how are you thirsty?
Like in a cute way.
So all that can quench your thirst is bubbles.
Yeah, like in sort of a cute, fun way. Like in a quirky way, like in a Zooey Deschanel way.
Deschanel would have sparkling water.
I just think it quenches your thirst better.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think the bubbles, if anything, make you more thirsty.
No, because they like get on your tongue.
Yeah.
And they like zap it up.
No, because you're not.
And you go, oh.
They don't zap anything up. What are they talking about? Don't go, oh, after that.
Oh, she convinced me.
You're drinking less water because there's more room taken up by the bubbles.
That's not a thing.
Oh, if you have a pint of sparkling water, half a pint of that is bubbles.
That is not true.
What are you saying?
It's air. There's loads of air in it.
Not that much. Not half.
You kind of won me over with your marathon analogy.
The sportsman thing.
But now
he didn't say the marathon, but Ed does talk about the marathon, the fact that he's done the marathon so much. Well, it does just feel like...
I thought it must be a marathon.
Right now, I think I'm right. I think it quenches your thirst more.
Look,
and also, I can get normal water at home. I've got that all in my tap.
Yeah.
There's loads of
that
it.
That is true.
Loads
true.
Of it. I'm out. I want to treat myself.
The main thing I want to dig in. So, hold on. So, yours, because both arguments are confusing me. So, yours is the bubbles go on your tongue and they zap it up.
Yep.
And you get more first quenched.
Yeah.
Like
so,
that.
Like, you know how your tongue goes dry?
Yeah.
It like zaps up all the dryness.
Yeah. So, it zaps it up with the bubbles.
Yep.
You can't zap up dryness.
Don't you tell me what I can and can't do. Okay?
If you zap anything up, you're making it more dry.
Look, I don't want you... I haven't come to your restaurant to be told that I'm not allowed to zap up water with my
tongue. You can have what you like. I just think if you're given reasons, you better make sure they're not mad.
Well,
there's a genie that's my waiter.
Speaking of
which, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. The logic doesn't hang together in this place anyway.
Speaking of which, you can say to Susie, don't sound mad. You were saying a minute ago that bubbles take up room in the glass.
They do. Of course they do.
I don't think that's a thing.
Well, they're there, sure, but yeah. I don't think you get less water because there's bubbles in there.
Right, if you have a pint of still water and a pint of sparkling water, mm-hmm. I think you have less water in the sparkling because there's bubbles in there.
This sounds like a GCSE question.
Yeah, it does sound like a bit of a GCSE question.
I got GCSE science.
Right.
Double award.
Bubble award.
Bubble award.
I didn't.
Right.
I got double science.
Ah, yeah, the genes on the side.
Yeah, and what do you think about the bubble?
Obviously, there's air in the bubbles.
Mm-hmm. So there must be less water in this in the sparkling one because some of it's taken.
Maybe
out.
by like a sip on the whole. Yeah. One sip would be all the bubbles
lose
together.
Out. Between a sip and a half a pint.
Yeah, it can't be that you lose out so much. You can't lose out so much that.
Yeah, all right.
Quenches your thirst more.
As long as we're agreed with that.
Because I think the reason why athletes don't drink it is because it would make them burp, mm-hmm. not because it doesn't quench their thirst.
Yeah.
I don't think it would quench their thirst either.
I do. I reckon if you know, like if you're really thirsty, you have like a lemonade and it goes all in your mouth. I think that really helps thirst.
You think that helps thirst?
Yeah.
Because it fizzes.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're never going to resolve this.
I have a feeling you're wrong.
We need an actual
we're
scientist.
We're going on feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
That's that.
We'll talk about our feelings, Ed.
Yeah.
We need to get a scientist on the podcast. Benito, make a note of this. We need to get a scientist as a guest in the future, and we need to ask them this. Okay, cool. Pop drums up, Ed, Susie!
Pop drums.
Yeah! I'm liking how decisive you are. Well, I think you're about to say that poppadoms make you less hungry than bread now.
Oh.
Don't assume to know what I think about things.
I'm enjoying this episode very much because sometimes I'm the one who, like, you know, locks horns with the guests, but it's very good to be able to sit here and watch Ed.
I'm going to give him a dead leg.
Dead leg.
I love locking horns with Susie. Poppadoms. Shut your fucking mouth. Just straight
right,
in.
Yeah. Poppadoms. I love it. It is poppadoms. Because poppadoms for me, mm-hmm. it's just a way to get mint chutney into my face.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they're the best things to do it on. And when they're warm and they've just come out and there's sometimes like a little bit of oil still on them. Oh my God.
Oh, you like the oil on them?
I don't mind a little bit of oil.
Right. Interesting.
Because then you know that they've just come out
fresh.
Of
fresh. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I don't know how they're cooked. They've just come out of the, you know.
I've never. They're
the
fried,
poppadom
I guess.
Yeah. Poppadom maker.
Yeah, yeah. I used to fry poppadoms.
Yeah.
I went to the kitchen where I was the mash king.
Yeah.
And I was the mash king for a while. Yeah. I made the best mash. I was called the mash king. And we would fry poppadoms in the fryer. And once I was, there was a guy who would come and deliver vegetables.
Mm.
And he came in and he was waiting around in the kitchen. And I got an order of food for some poppadoms. So I put a poppadom in the fryer and it sizzled up and he heard it and he turned around and looked at it and then he pointed at me and went, oh, poppadom soldier. Like that to me. That's what he did.
Amazing. You were the poppadom soldier, but also the mash king.
Yeah, I was the mash king.
So many titles in one restaurant.
I was the poppadom soldier.
How have you never told anyone that?
I've told it before. Actually,
you've not told it to me.
I haven't told it to you, which is weird. I'll tell you why I haven't told it to you. When I first started doing stand-up, I tried to tell it on stage.
Yeah. Well, it's not a stand-up anecdote.
No, so it didn't work. So then I stopped telling it just to everybody. But David Trent always remembers it. And David Trent, his main note to me, so I'd always do that bit on stage and it wouldn't really get much.
Yeah.
And David would say to me, what you should do is you should add the line in the heart of the Caribbean after it. So you should say, in the heart of the Caribbean. And I was always like, but the poppadoms don't come from the Caribbean. He's like, just say it. Just say that he said that whole line to you. And back then I was very anti-lying on stage. I was like, I can't lie. But he would say poppadom soldier to me. So we fried him.
Yeah.
And then I got called the poppadom soldier. Delivery man, yes.
So what are you having? The mint yogurt?
Yeah, mint yogurt. The mango chutney.
Mango chutney.
Something a little bit spicy, one of the little spicy ones, because they're sort of a little bit different in lots of different restaurants, aren't they?
So they change up.
Something that's got a bit of spice.
Brinjal pickle, there's the aubergine pickle.
Yeah,
that's really good, nice and spicy.
And I like the onions and tomato.
Yeah.
Like that with a bit of the mint chutney on.
So you're mixing.
Yeah, I'm mixing a lot of things. Yeah. I also, if I have a curry, which is not my main meal, but just for reference, I also like to keep the mint yogurt to put a little bit on the top of my curry.
Ah!
Good curry hack, I think.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I like that. Not many people. I mean, it seems so obvious, but not many people do that.
Would you order a spicy curry then? And then
I would order a spicy-ish curry, yeah. sort of, like, I'd say, how's the Balti? Does it have a bit of a kick to it?
Mm.
And then in some places they'll say, oh, I can put a bit of a kick in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like,
and then
you
wink at them and go, put a bit of kick in there for me.
And then they got to take the dip away and go, no!
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're putting a kick in it.
Yeah.
Please.
No rice, pashwari naan. Boom.
Wow.
Yes. You know what? We've got very similar curry orders.
Well,
I go no rice peshwari or no rice garlic, depending on how I'm feeling.
Love can build a bridge between your heart and mind.
I mean, it's not love. It's actually an order. A curry.
Yeah, curry can build a bridge. You two were polar opposites earlier.
We were.
Now what do you have to drink? I have a Cobra, but I make them leave it until it's flat so I get more beer.
I will not continue with this.
Don't take the bait.
I have a Cobra, but I asked for a lemonade as well, and I make myself a cheeky little shandy.
Oh, you're getting
double
about,
bubble.
You're getting about two shots of liquid then.
You're getting zapped.
Yeah.
Might as well be in the electric chair. having all those drinks. Your starter.
Could I please have some tuna sashimi?
Mm. Lovely.
You absolutely may.
Absolutely, you can. Is there a certain place you want me to get this?
Yeah, if you could. If you could get it from Sushi Samba.
Now, where's that? I've not been.
It's in the Shard.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's a couple of...
Oh, is it in the Shard or the Heron?
I think it might be in the Heron.
I would find it very hard to say to people, I want to go to Sushi Samba in the Shard. It's quite a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
I would like the sashimi from the sushi samba. I would like the sashimi from the sushi samba in the Shard. Susie likes sashimi from the sushi... Right, okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Do you know what? I also think that I might change the restaurant, but carry on with this.
Yeah, but this
There's
is
another
still
restaurant
quite
that I really enjoy.
Well, we might have to change the restaurant.
We'll all try and say this.
Okay.
So it's... Susie likes sashimi from the Sushi Samba in the Shard is the full sentence.
Okay.
And that was not perfect. Okay. But Susie likes sashimi from the sushi... Oh, fuck.
Susie likes sashimi from the sushi... From Sushi Samba in the Shard.
Oh, it's hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
Susie likes sashimi from the Sushi Samba in the Shard.
It's also in Heron Tower, so...
Okay.
Yeah, but still.
I'm also just remembering that there's a place that does better tuna sashimi, which is Sexy Fish.
Okay.
Oh, wow. See, what I thought you'd done there is you'd panicked because saying Sushi Samba sounds, because it's a very sort of high-end, like fancy London sort of place.
No, don't worry
about
that.
And I thought, she's worried that it doesn't sound authentic enough.
So what do you think I'm going to go?
Yeah,
actually,
she's panicked.
There's this little place called Wasabi.
And then you went with Sexy Fish. I was like, she's gone all in.
Which is a restaurant in Mayfair.
Yeah.
Where I went for my birthday lunch with my girlfriend a couple of weeks ago.
Amazing. Yeah.
We're not people that have like a lot of money, but I would say that going out to eat is like
the big
our thing.
Yeah.
We love to we come up with it. Like, I don't even know about going to restaurants, but it's this little thing that Alice and I do, and I think you might enjoy it. Just trying to start a little thing. I think it might really take off.
Really good tip for a thing to
do. Anyone else who ever goes out for a meal now with their partner will be like, oh, God, kind of treading on their turf.
Yeah.
Go, it's okay, kind of their thing.
If we're out for a meal, we should work out which one's Susie and which one's Alice.
The one with the short hair. Susie.
Ed, do you want to try and say the tongue twister?
Susie likes sashimi from the sushi...
so typical!
Susie likes sashimi from the Sushi Samba in the Shard.
Yeah, that lovely.
Was Susie likes sashimi from the sushi...
He's reversed
with
the mic.
Oh,
do
I
have another go at it, Susie?
Susie likes sashimi from the Sushi Samba in the Shard.
Oh.
Very close. Oh,
I'm not sure. Slow that down in post.
I actually want it from Sexy Fish.
Yes.
Easier. Susie likes sashimi from Sexy Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Great restaurant.
I've not been to Sexy Fish.
Oh, it's lovely.
I remember Sexy Fish opening, and a lot of the press was obviously about the fact it was called Sexy Fish.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know what the food's like, because I think it got a...
It's mermaids.
It got a lot of negative stuff at the time.
What, for the name or
for
the food?
Name.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't care about the name. I'm
There's
not
also,
eating
but
for the
a
name.
Restaurant since then, a restaurant called Flavor Bastard has opened, which has taken a lot of the heat off Sexy Fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shape of Water won the Academy Award.
Yeah
so if anything...
Is it themed?
Yeah. It's lovely. It was really, really good sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And sushi's sort of quite a new thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that maybe 4 years ago, I would have been like, ugh, raw fish.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Mm.
Because I didn't grow up with a very... my mum and dad aren't adventurous with food. Like, my dad has 3 roast dinners a week.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Like, I mean, whoa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 3 roast dinners a week.
How's he spacing these out? Has he got certain days he has them on?
Sometimes. Yeah, all the same day. He's like a hamster, just fills up.
Yeah.
Just wakes up on a Sunday and goes, roast dinner day.
I would say he'll probably have one like Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday or something like that.
Oh, amazing. That's great, because I think if you're not going to be adventurous and have the same thing, I think the choice of the roast dinner is inspired.
Yeah. So he'll have like a roast dinner, and then like another night he might have sausage and mash, and then another night he might have like pie.
Yeah. Does your dad live in a pub?
How dare you?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. But my mum is very, like, they're very much meat and 2 veg.
Yeah.
As a family, which I know is also a thing for Willie. Yeah. But, sure. But you absolutely know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you know
what I mean? Yeah. Still do what you meant, but you're still,
Say how far you've strayed, Susie, from meat and 2 veg.
I know. Mum and dad are livid. But yeah, they're very much, and maybe like ham, egg and chips one night. Sure. I mean, what I'm saying is he has type 2 diabetes.
Who's that is? God rest his soul. Good guy.
So I didn't have pasta until I was like 19.
Yeah.
And so the idea of like raw fish I thought was utterly disgusting.
That's a big step.
Yeah. And so in the last couple of years, I tried it in Australia. Yeah, she's travelled. I was with some people that were like, it's so great, you've got to try it, And I liked it, but I was still like, oh, I don't like the texture. Mm. I find textures of food can be something that I for a long time I didn't like an omelette because it feels like the inside of your mouth.
Wow.
Okay.
I've never heard that about an omelette.
I'm now tonguing the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, and, we all are, mate. Everyone at home is.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't like, so I found things very...
Introduce them to each other.
I found the feeling of sushi quite gross for quite a long time, but now I've really got into it.
Yeah.
I love sushi.
And are you back on? You're on omelettes as well.
Look, I'll have one occasionally, but I wouldn't say it's not. It's not making it into the menu.
No. I'd never thought about that about an omelette.
Yeah,
but it makes sense. Problem is I don't have those thoughts until other people say them, and then they get stuck in my head. So next time I have an omelette, I'm going to think that feels like the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, I think it's because I was eating one once and I bit the inside of my mouth quite hard.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I can't be trusted.
Yeah.
I can't be trusted with these sharp teeth.
So
now, then it was soup for a year and now I'm on sushi.
Yeah. That's the progression.
Normal classic.
Normal people do that. Why are you choosing, you're choosing tuna over salmon or any other
just
fish?
Tuna is the best.
Yeah. I agree with this.
Yeah. With, a fair bit of wasabi to give it a bit of a kick, some ginger and a little bit of soy sauce.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice.
In terms, I like tuna sashimi a lot, but it has to be quite a fatty tuna.
I wouldn't judge the fish like that.
I think
I'd say that they're important.
I think it can be. I feel like tuna can be a little bland if it doesn't have a good amount of fat in it.
I feel like you can be a little bland when you haven't got your fat.
Susie, if this is going to happen every time I give you an opinion, then it's going to be a long record.
That was funny though.
Yeah.
That was
real good.
Oh, look, it's always funny.
The absolute glee on Susie's face as she said it.
I started laughing halfway through because she was so excited.
Yeah. As soon as you said fatty, I thought I can get something here.
Yeah. You can get him.
We've done roast battle together. This is just.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did do roast battle against each other, didn't
we
you?
Did.
Yeah. That's what this is about.
I tell you who would win roast battle though.
My dad. Yeah.
The Triple Crown. Yeah, so tuna's seen as more meatier of the fish, isn't it? So like I think that's why I quite like it as well. I think anyone who is always like scared of having sushi because they think, oh, raw fish, try the tuna one.
Well, yeah, because I think that salmon is quite fishy.
Yeah.
Salmon is quite fishy and softer in texture as well. So it really feels like you're eating raw fish when you're eating salmon.
Whereas, although I do love salmon, but fair enough.
I mean, it's all delicious. Yeah, I'm starving now.
Yeah. That's a great starter. Sounds good.
Good choice of a starter as well, because it's...
I've got you both on side.
Great. Yeah. It's quite light as well.
Yeah.
But tasty.
You could eat that and you could be satisfied, but also ready for still an absolute massive meal ahead.
Yeah.
Now, how many slices do you get of sexy fish?
I think probably 4.
Four slices, that's great. Lovely. That's a great
start. This is the dream restaurant. So
I'll have 8.
I'll
have 15.
Double sexy, if you want a double sexy, that's fine.
Pile.
That's also my drag name.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Your main course.
Yes. I would like a piece of steak fillet.
A piece of steak fillet.
Is that a funny way to say it?
Yep.
Fillet steak, I would have thought.
Okay. Well.
Piece of steak fillet. I like.
Is it like I'm?
That's like you
learning English as a foreign language.
Yeah. Well, that's like you've translated it into French and then translated it back into English.
Yeah.
It's like you've done that. Yeah. The piece of steak fillet. Yeah.
Okay then. I'll have a piece of steak fillet.
Yeah.
I'd like some Dauphinoise potatoes.
Oh, hold on now. Hold on a second.
Whoa. This that comes together. That's not my side.
It comes together. Where have you had it?
The Hawksmoor.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay, I've got no problem with you doing this and saying that that's all part of the main because I like to hear about extra things.
Yeah.
But if you're ordering that at the Hawksmoor, you're surely ordering the steak and then the side is a Dauphinoise.
You know the truth, Ed.
I know the truth.
Oh, no.
But I'm willing to let you get away with it.
Genie?
It sounds like it'd be a main meal somewhere.
All right, yeah I'm happy with that.
That you would get that.
Maybe on like a Saturday afternoon, they do like a special.
Yeah, in fact, I think they used to. They don't anymore, so there's no point looking it up, but they did used to do that.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because you did, as soon as you said Hawksmoor, I was like, uh-oh, we're in trouble because Ed knows that menu off by heart.
Now, can I have, is a sauce counted as?
You can have it as part of
no, your, that's
of your
part
main.
Of
yeah,
that's
great. So I'll have a peppercorn sauce.
Cool.
Peppercorn sauce. How are you having the steak cooked?
I want it medium to well. Not well done, but I don't like any pink.
Here we go.
Like a little bit of pink, I don't like any blood.
Here we go. Release red head.
Oh, Susie, what are you doing?
I'm having a lovely time.
And there's a lot
you're going,
of...
Oh, I'd like a fillet steak, please. And if you could just remove all flavour from that, that would be wonderful.
Well, what I would say would be, I would like a piece of fillet steak, please.
I'd like a piece of steak fillet, please.
And you wouldn't even have to get onto how you want it, because they'd be like, well, if you're calling it a piece of steak fillet, we're assuming you're going to have it medium to well done.
Look, it's going to be basically medium, but a little bit, like I don't want any blood, no. And I don't want it too red on the inside. I certainly don't want it cold on the inside.
No, not cold on the inside, absolutely not.
Susie, but we got off to such a good start with...
No, we didn't, we were arguing.
The I wasn't arguing,
you were
I was
loggerhead.
Enjoying the back and forth.
You were loggerheads, Ed. But
Susie said she was a food head and now she's ordered a fillet steak, already the most tasteless of the steaks.
Okay, so you bit your tongue on that one originally.
Medium to well. What are you doing?
I'm enjoying myself.
Are you? Right. I'm good. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. That's the sort of thing a bodybuilder would eat before a workout.
Oh, that's true.
And did you ask me what I was doing after I went to this restaurant?
Yeah.
No, but I assume because you're having Dauphinoise potatoes, you're not going to the fucking gym.
Well, I am. I need to work off those Dauphinoise potatoes and I'll be using the steak as my fuel.
Yeah, chugging down fizzy water on the treadmill.
What's up? Why don't you want any pink in there? Why do you not want any blood in the steak?
Mm. Oh, blood just...
Just don't like blood.
No.
No, because I need to remove the fact... I need to remove from my head that it's an animal.
Oh, okay.
Because we should all be vegan.
Here's what I think. I think in a few years' time... Because you're eating sashimi now. You've got, you're onto omelets, you're onto sashimi. I think in a few years' time, you're going to be coming back on this podcast and going, I've had a revelation.
I'm eating a cow. It's still alive.
Right. It's moving at me. I'm looking it in its eyes while I'm eating its body.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing I can't think about. So that's why it has to be no blood.
No blood. Oh, but
you've got to stop lying to yourself.
As you can imagine, Anne and Rolly Ruffle, three roasts a week.
Yeah.
Yes.
They wouldn't go for red meat, would they? They'd be very, my dad would be well done steak. He'd get a very,
wow.
He'd get like well done, like he'd want it like, grey all the way through.
Yeah, grey. You
know, yeah. A nice grey steak. I mean, growing up, we used to go to the Red Lion in Wellham, little village pub.
Shout out
to the Red Lion. And we would all get steaks. And
Susie can go to the Red Lion. She'd have to have it.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Grey Lion?
Grey Lion.
Yep. Susie, how do you feel about that joke?
Didn't like it either.
Didn't like it. No, not liking our humour this
no,
week.
No, two of the most promising comedians in the country.
Promising?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, if I'm still promising, I may as well.
I said it about Acaster.
To be fair, at the start of the podcast, we weren't promising. We were fully accomplished comedians.
Fine. Two of the greatest comedians in the country.
We've gone down to promising.
That's available now.
We've quite deservedly gone down to promising because of our appalling hit rate of jokes.
That it feels like a slur now. I've heard it back.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't regret it. Not one
Susie,
bit.
I completely see your point of view. I agree. Oh, yeah. I agree. If anything,
I was actually I took it as a compliment, but then I thought I shouldn't.
Yeah, but Red Lion and Wellham. And I'd always get medium steak as a kid.
Okay.
I thought I wouldn't want it. And then somebody told me, I'm very easily influenced by people who tell me this is the only way to have something.
Sure.
And I think I'm missing out. I must be missing out. Like when Ashton B's uncle told me that I absolutely should never mix anything with whiskey. I should always have whiskey on its own straight.
Yeah.
Like I still have that in my head every time I'm having like anything whiskey, like, especially if it's a nice whiskey or anything. I can't mix it with anything anymore. And just can't go back. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, said you have to have medium rare or rare. You should absolutely not go. And then I've just never been able to go back. And then since I've been having medium rare steaks, I'm like, this is the best. Like I want to cut into it like butter. That's what I want. Just one forward stroke or one back stroke on the knife, and you're through it.
That's a big knife he's using, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big old knife.
Was that big what I did just then?
Yeah, that was like you had a sword.
Oh.
Wouldn't mind that.
Oh, but genie though. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make sense. Where would you keep the sword? Just on your holster?
On my hip, yeah.
Yeah,
just cool. Just hanging down. And one of those Aladdin swords that like, you know, the curved ones.
Yeah,
a scimitar.
Huh?
A scimitar?
What did you call me?
I also think this discussion of you saying you wanted it, you know, you want it medium to well, which is fine because it's your choice.
Thank you. Right. I mean, yeah, that is true. Can we have a bit of that?
I think my initial reaction to that of, oh God, why would you do that? You've got to have blood in the steak, is probably represents my least favourite character trait in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hear this back and I'm like, oh God, Ed, shut up.
Yeah.
If Susie wants
that is what I
to
thought
well steak.
As well.
Yeah.
Sometimes this podcast can turn into Ed's therapy session.
Yeah.
We're just here, let's listen to what Ed doesn't like about himself.
Oh, man, I make myself so angry sometimes.
you're a promising comic?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a promising comic.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
I wish I didn't say promising.
Dauphinoise potatoes.
Yes, please.
Absolutely incredible.
Lovely stuff.
And I'll be honest, if you're having a steak medium to well, you're losing a lot of moisture, which you're gaining back in the Dauphinoise. You're mixing the Dauphinoise and the steak together. I can imagine that being a lovely bite.
Yep. And also you put a little bit of peppercorn on the top.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you only need sauce with a steak if the steak itself is not up to scratch. That's how I feel about it. All you really should have is just a bit of maybe Dijon mustard.
I like whole grain.
Okay, a whole grain. I'll take a whole grain.
Whole grain mustard's nice. Yeah, very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. We spent ages once trying to think of the name for that, didn't we?
Did we?
I think we did. Or maybe it wasn't you. But me and someone else.
It's on your mustard podcast.
Me and someone else once had a chat.
That's why you always wear those jumpers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, sorry. I'm dashing off to do my mustard podcast. Yeah.
Don't tell Ed about it. He'll get jealous. So me and someone else were trying to remember the name of whole grain mustard.
Mm.
And we were like, we were literally saying, yo, it's got grains in it. And it's like, and we were like, it can't be called whole grain mustard. You know, it just sounded wrong. We're like, it can't be called whole grain. That sounds so basic.
And there's
so
too many mustard choices, I think.
Do you think?
When I was a child, Yeah. And I need to preface this story with, my dad is an excellent father. When I was a child, my dad was having Coleman's mustard, so like the bright yellow stuff, with his dinner, probably a roast.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, the odds are. And I said to him, I must have been about 10. I said to him, what is that? What does it taste like? And he said, I'll give you 15 quid if you put some on your tongue.
Exactly what I'd do if I had a kid.
And I,
15 quid. And he didn't think about the price. He was just like, straight away, yeah, that's worth 15 quid.
That's worth 15 quid. Yeah. So then he like wiped it on my tongue.
Wiped.
Amazing. From his knife. Wipe a knife on your kid's tongue.
It wasn't a sharp one. And I screamed and like cried, and mum and dad had a massive row.
Yeah.
Well, naturally.
I would imagine your mum when we came in, what's happened?
Yeah.
I wiped my knife on her tongue.
For 15 quid?
Yeah. I was paying her. Yeah. What? I was paying her.
But please, I still don't
you
really
got the 15 quid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would fuck. Yeah. You would hope so.
Yeah.
If you didn't get paid after that, then that's that's great. Give you 15 quid if you can put some on your tongue and then wiping his knife on your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a man of his word.
Yes. He wasn't messing around.
There's too many mustard choices though.
Yeah, and I don't like the yellow one, and I think it probably dates back to that.
That is definitely why you don't like. I'm no psychiatrist, but I'll crack that one open.
Okay,
right now.
Brilliant.
And there's the rosebud there. You don't like that because of. Your dad wiped it on your tongue and he made you cry.
Yep.
Whole grain, I think it's an excellent choice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like Dijon in cooking. I probably don't use it in much else.
I use it quite regularly. I use it in salad dressings.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, use a little bit in a salad dressing.
Do you ever use a bit of jam in a salad dressing?
No.
Hello.
Okay, so if you've got like a goat's cheese.
Yeah.
So I'd do like, maybe in the summer, sure. I might be doing like a goat's cheese and bacon salad.
Oh, lovely.
Sure.
Because, you know. I like to treat myself right. And
that's your quirky thirsty voice as well.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Quirky thirsty, really another one of my drag names.
Quirky thirsty voice. Also, the listener really can't appreciate how much Susie's using her shoulders today.
No, when she's talking. Imagine the 80s.
Yeah. Just imagine like there's just shoulders back and forth.
Imagine dry ice in the 80s.
A little shimmy from the shoulders.
I'll do myself a little, a little goat's cheese and bacon number, sure. Mm. And then I'll make a little dressing that will be balsamic, so just some olive and vinegar. And then I'll just drop in just a little bit of jam and then shake it up.
What type of jam?
Whatever you like.
Whatever's knocking
whatever
around.
Whatever you got in.
Yeah.
Whatever you got in.
It's a good choice with goat's cheese and bacon. Yeah. You got all that salt and you want a bit of sweet.
Yeah, like I guess. I think I had it in a restaurant and I imagine they used like some sort of cranberry sauce.
Yes.
But I didn't have cranberry in.
You got jam.
I've always got jam in.
Jam it up.
I've always got some jam in.
You're jamming. Another Bob Marley song.
Yeah.
Pop it on Soldier.
Yeah.
You're jamming with your salad.
Yeah. So now, it's quite intriguing what your side dish is going to be because like you've already got some dauphinoise potatoes there.
Yep.
Which is very, very clever because it means you've. Most of the time, people go for like a potatoey thing for a side.
Yeah.
But you've gone round that.
We like it when people hack the podcast rules.
Yeah. Pretty smart.
Yeah.
I would like some roasted broccoli with chili.
Oh, yeah.
I was really hoping you were going to go for like a green irony thing with that. And that's
well, because
perfect.
I'm going to the gym afterwards, remember?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You got this big workout for the bodybuilding competition coming up.
Yeah.
Is this based on a restaurant dish that you've had before?
No, that's just something that I like that I'll get anywhere. If there's like, so I've had it in lots of different places, but a broccoli with a bit of chili.
So always chili for you?
Or garlic, but I'd prefer a bit of chili.
Yeah.
Garlic I find gets a bit, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean though?
I know what you mean.
You know? There's not really a word for it, but it's just a bit.
You go to what, a bit like dry in the mouth? What are you doing there?
No, James, there's not words for it.
There's not words for it.
A bit garlicky sometimes, you know, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes
it can be, you know, like I like a bit of garlic, but I don't want to like, you know, I'm not trying to keep away a vampire.
Yeah.
I quite like it when they get the crispy garlic with the broccoli.
Yeah, that's not a bad
little
thing.
Crispy.
Yeah, but I like it if they do that with a bit of chilli as well.
Yeah.
I roast garlic pretty regularly, I'd say.
Just for the listener, Ed really furrowed his brow as he said that.
Really,
I just roast it in the clove, like just chuck it in with some roast vegetables or whatever for half an hour, even less than half an hour.
Yeah.
And then you can just pop it out of the clove and it's like they're almost sweet. They're just Oh.
I didn't know you did that.
I do that all the time, mate, if I'm roasting some veg.
No, it turns out this is...
You don't know my secret garlic life.
No, popping out little cloves of garlic and eating them like sweets.
I pop them in my gob straight away.
Wow.
I love them.
Like it's at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
My friend Faye and I were once at a restaurant, and this was years ago, when I was quite new to olives. Again, olives didn't get into olives until quite a lot later. Faye, my friend, told me that if you have 8 of them, you like them. So I did. I like them now. And
that's a hold on. Theory from Faye.
Hold on a second. Faye told you if you have 8 olives, then you like olives.
Yeah.
Like it was, and then so you ate 8 in a row.
Not necessarily in a row, just like 8 times of trying olives. And then on the 9th time, you're like, damn, this is good.
Oh, yeah. Right. So
that's a commitment,
you always come from the deep south.
Damn,
this is good.
So it's not that you sit there and you have 8 in a row.
No.
And then you will like olives. It's
no, you can do
8
like
occasions.
Different occasions. Yeah, and on the 9th occasion, you will like olives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we were having olives.
Yeah. I don't think I ever had a problem with olives.
Must have been maybe. Yeah, but you grew up posh.
Yeah. A very precocious posh child.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. I mean, never forget that.
In Portsmouth, I didn't even know if they had olives in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
They were around in my house, but I didn't like them. I wasn't into them. But like now, I love them.
Mm. Yeah, love them. But I was in one of those restaurants where they do like a spoonful of olives with like different bits, and like maybe a bit of like roasted tomato like sun-dried tomato, and there was a clove of garlic, and I was quite new to olives, and Faye said to me, "They're white olives, try them." And it was
Quite the liar on this occasion.
Wow, yeah. Faye pranked you hard.
She pranked me very hard, yeah.
But did you like the clove of garlic?
No, you did way too much.
It was too...
You were doing that for many days.
Yeah.
Many days afterwards.
Yeah.
Faye the prankster.
Yep.
I think roasted broccoli, so it's roasted with chilli on it.
Yeah.
That's great. Like,
and I like it a little bit burnt.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's easy to do. It's easy to overdo it. I've tried roasting broccoli before, and because it's basically like popping a tree in the oven, right? The little florets, they do burn fairly quickly.
You know, you want to do it in tinfoil.
I beg your pardon?
You should.
Oh, you covering it?
No, I'm putting it tinfoil on the tray.
Yeah.
Then like covering it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then putting it up on the top bit.
Nice.
For the final sort of few minutes.
Oh, that's good. See, I've just been bunging it in. And not covering it. But of course you need to cover it to protect the little delicate tree tops.
Yeah.
Right. I will do that next time. Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome, Ed. Oh, friends again.
Oh.
Once when I worked in the kitchen and I was the mash king and the poppadom soldier, I put a jacket potato in the microwave with tinfoil on it.
Oh.
And the head chef called me back to the... He said, come here. You're trying to kill me? And then I laughed because I thought, great joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of got quite the...
Yeah, you would have done.
But it's,
I'm surprised you kept your job after that.
A bollocking when you're laughing at the top of it is really bad. When you're kind of, you've really got your guard down and you go, ha, 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 and then you have to like quickly get a serious face on and like realise you're in big trouble.
We had a teacher who used to do that trick all the time. Ooh. So I remember him telling off my friend Bhavik Patel once, and he made him stay behind after class. And then he went, well, Bhavik, come here, tell me what all this was about. This is a bit silly, really, to be talking throughout the class. And he did it like that, and Bhavik was like, yeah, sorry. And then he would get Bhavik laughing, and then I remember this distinctly, he went, you think it's funny? Bhavik was so surprised.
Yeah, because he had a mobster for a teacher. Joe Pesci.
Three roasts, really.
Yeah.
My dad. He wasn't great at discipline when I was a kid. My mum would be like, you need to tell them off.
Yeah.
And they're being really naughty. And my dad would be like, right, come here. And start sort of telling us off. And I realised that I could get out of anything with my dad by saying, and this was from when I was about 9 or 10, one day you and I will really laugh about this sort of thing. And then he just said to my mum, I can't do it. I'm just not good at discipline. Let me give her a deadlift.
Such a great thing for a kid to say.
Right.
One day me and you are going to look back at that. This will be funny. You and I, we're not so different.
I can't shout at her. I'll go get the mustard.
Yeah, yeah. Just put your tongue out. Some money in it for you. The drink.
Yes.
Now, was this an easy decision?
Yeah.
Ah, great. You've got a favourite drink already?
Special Brit? No. a Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
I love a Pinot Noir.
Anyone saying Pinot Noir now makes me think of Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just that song.
Ed bought me a bottle of that.
that is available to buy the Titus Burgess Pinot Noir with a picture of him on the label.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, bought some for my birthday for me. Yeah.
That's really good.
I really enjoyed drinking that.
I love it. It's so, I mean, Pinot Noir in general, that's one of the only wines where I can be like, I'll order a Pinot Noir and I know I'm probably going to like it.
Do you like the guy that plays Titus in...
I do like him. Why? Is it, are you about to tell me something awful?
No, I'm not.
In this day and age, Susie.
No. Tom Allen and I are going to New York Pride.
Yes.
And we're going on a gay flight to New York Pride. And there's a performance on there and he is hosting it.
That's incredible.
Whoa.
Yeah, Tom and I got very drunk at the Attitude Awards and decided that we wanted to go to New York Pride.
Yeah.
And they were selling, they were like, we've got 100 seats to sell. And Tom was like, we'll have to.
That's incredible. So you don't need to be drunk to make that level of decision.
Of course. I would make that decision now.
Yeah. A gay flight for a start.
Sure.
Sounds like it's going to be a laugh. But
have you been on a gay flight before?
Well, I mean, if I'm there, they're always a bit gay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you stand up before when they're doing all the safety announcements?
I do them all with a really camp wrist.
Just so you know, this is also officially a gay flight now.
Yeah. Are you? I mean, if there is an emergency, no one's going to know where the exit are because you've done the wrist, like you said. You thought I was heading down a very different...
I didn't know where you were going.
I absolutely loved that. I absolutely loved it because I...
You're not promising anymore. It's also one of the big comics in the country.
As soon as you said, don't know where the exits are, both of you looked unsure. Because Susan was like, oh, hold on. And you were like, I sound like I'm going to do an awful... Especially like the level of jokes we've been doing so far.
Yeah, that sounded like it was Susie
was right to be suspicious.
I was
suspicious.
Ripping off the back of Susie saying she was doing the camp wrists.
No, I've never been on a gay flight. And I'm
Are the pilots gay on a gay flight? Yeah.
I think that's the thing that like all the pilots are gay, all of the cabin crew are gay, which I'm guessing wouldn't have been a hard thing to find.
Sure.
Oh my God, we need to find cabin crew that's gay. We'll never do it. We will.
No, you wouldn't want a hetero pilot.
Nah.
No, absolutely not.
I'm thinking there might be some loop-de-loops and stuff, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
A bit of fun.
Oh, I'm very jealous. It's going to be awesome.
He's hosting it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? How do you host a flight?
But there's just a picture of him dressed in cabin crew gear, holding the phone microphone thing with like a little cheeky. So I think he'll like do a couple of numbers.
Oh,
but there's not a lot of performance space, and that's what I'm really interested in. It's like how's he gonna use that space?
I think just him being there on the flight is gonna be enough.
I think it'll be fun. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
He'll sing. I reckon he'll sing. Surely.
Oh, for sure.
He's got a great voice.
Definitely.
He was. He played Sebastian the Crab in the failed Broadway attempt at Little Mermaid.
Did he?
He was in Guys and Dolls.
I thought that Tom Allen and I have discussed this before on our podcast. Mm. I thought for a long time that Sebastian was French. And so whenever I would do his accent, and then I was like, that is... I don't know if I'm meant to do that sort of accent. It's like, it's French, right?
Yeah.
No, it's
French
not.
Crab. It's a French crab.
French crab. It's called Sebastian.
That is very cool. Very, very jealous about that.
There you go.
But would you like his Pinot Noir then?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Be a talking point, wouldn't it, when he finished a number and like, you know, I want to come and pally with him because I'm going to New York Pride for the weekend, probably want some cool gang to hang around with. I'd say, by the way, love your wine.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, you can have the Titus Burgess Pinot Noir.
We come to your dessert.
Yeah.
My favourite course, everyone knows that.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
I'm excited about it.
Okay, it's very specific.
Great.
It's my Nan's lemon drizzle cake.
Mm.
Lovely. A classic.
A classic. And how she would do it was she'd make a lemon. I think that's how a lot of nans make it.
Yeah.
And other people. You don't have to be a nan.
Yeah.
I think it helps.
It helps if you're a nan.
You put a bit of love in, don't you?
It really helps.
Yeah. Old lady bony fingers. That's what makes it nice.
That must be what it is.
Old lady bony fingers.
Yeah, old lady. Another articulation exercise for James. Old lady, your lip. No, okay, you can't do it.
I thought you were saying that was another drag name.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that is one
that's
of my other
last names. Drag name.
Yeah, your final.
My final drag name.
Old lady bony fingers.
Yeah. She does a few numbers at the end of the night.
Yeah.
She'd make the sort of the sponge with obviously lemons in and a bit of lemon rind and yum, and then she'd make an icing with loads of lemons squeezed into it. And then when it was still hot, she'd put holes in the sponge, maybe about 10 holes in the sponge, and then pour it in.
Oh, yeah.
And so it would go down the holes.
Yes.
Like, as you'd have a slice, there'd be a bit of icing in it.
Oh, that's great.
That's really great.
Really good.
Yeah. It is, you've really nailed that. That's my favourite cake, lemon drizzle cake.
Is it?
And Jeannie, if you can get hold of that, I'll be really impressed because she's been dead for nearly 2 years.
Oh, this is a Jeannie we're talking about.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I can get hold of it.
Great.
I'll get hold of that lemon drizzle cake.
Get in touch with her. Jane Wells.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my dad's favourite cake as well, and I think that's why it's my favourite cake.
The Colonel?
The Colonel, yeah. Susie calls my dad the Colonel.
I've never met him. Yeah. Ed once did his voice on stage, and then he came off stage, and I was like, is your dad like a colonel or something?
Yeah, he does sound like a colonel, your dad. I've never met him, but when you do impressions of him...
The impression of him on stage is now so far from the actual truth of the man that when he sees it, he's genuinely going to be livid.
He'll be angry.
And he'll say, why are you making that in front of me?
Yeah.
That's like when my mum said to me, Suze, why do you do my voice like that? And I was like, because that is your voice.
My dad loves lemon drizzle cake. So I think when I was young and I found out that that was his favourite cake, sometimes I think I just decided, well, that's also my favourite cake then. And that's just...
copied your dad on your favourite cake, my little dork.
I copied my dad's favourite cake. But when my mum makes it, I don't think she does icing over it. I think it's just the clear, sugary
liquid. Yeah, you want it to be icing.
Yeah, but that's a really nice idea. You so you get icing all the way through. That. Oh, that's a nan's touch.
That's a nan's touch.
I do. Mum making mine.
A nan's touch, which is also another one of my drag names.
So I'm a bit annoyed that like most places don't do that now. Now you've said that. Never been anything I've thought of, like putting holes in the cake and the icing goes down and you get icing all the way through. Never thought about that. And now you've said that.
Lovely little touch, isn't it?
Very
also
annoyed
keeps that it very moist.
Mm.
Yeah. You know what? So there's an episode of Chef's Table where it's about the person who did Milk Bar in America. I've got her name now. My mind's got blank. Anyway, she was saying about the cakes they make in Milk Bar. And she was like, they just ice the top and they don't ice the sides. And she did a long speech about how she thinks it's awful to ice the sides. You can't, you know, you're covering up the whole cake. And her dream is that one day no one will ice the sides. And I was sitting there going, are you having a laugh? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't want people to ice the side. Like, you're not falling. Like, every time I hear one of the chefs on Chef's Table speak, I'm one over. I'm like, yep, they're right.
Yeah.
Of course they're right. It's like when people tell me I should, you know, have a medium rare steak and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, of course. I've been living in the dark. When she said you should never ice the sides of a cake, I'm like, I don't care who you are.
Who you think you are.
Yeah, if you tell me I can't ice the side, you're living in a dream world.
Yeah.
If you think that that's nicer, just to have the top.
I don't see what the logic behind that would be. If the icing's good, more of that, please.
Yeah, more icing. Because it's not like you get loads of icing anyway.
No.
There's a reason why people like the corner piece of a cake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not people aren't going, oh, please give me a corner piece because they like right angles. It's because they like more icing.
Like, when I'm eating, say, right, your classic is the Pizza Express hot chocolate fudge cake.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. When I'm eating that, you've obviously got the side and the top, which is covered in that thick icing, and the middle's got some of it as well. But I eat it in order. I eat it so...
The king's mouthful is the last bit.
Yeah, the king's mouthful. But it's
basically... You call it the king's mouthful, right?
No!
I've never called it that, no.
So, like, you know when you have... Oh, my friend made it up.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's great.
Is this fae again?
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's say it's fae. Why not? Well, when you leave a little bit, actually, my girlfriend Alice and I realised that when we were out having dinner together, we realised we were both doing this.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I was like, well, maybe we should settle down with, say, my main course.
Yeah.
Sure. I would save a little bit of different one, a little bit of mustard.
Yeah.
A little bit of just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So your final mouthful is like the best bit, and that is
the king's mouthful.
I would do with a packet of like Starburst or fruit pastels or something like that, sweets. I would save one of each flavour to the end and then have them all at once. So I can relate.
You're such a maverick.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Well, you're not just a maverick. You're clearly about a six.
Yeah.
Like, you're
looking at me like that, Benito? Benito's looking at me like I'm an absolute weirdo. That's a normal thing to do. Susie, you said about the king's mouthful.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I think it's weird.
Mine's the jester's mouthful. Oh.
Why? But also, how many fruit pastels are you going to go in at once? That's going to be very chewy.
Yeah, it's pretty chewy, but it's great. You get all the different flavours. There's like five in it or something like that.
Oh, no. Do you know what? I'll absolutely unsubscribe to that. Do not like that at all.
Yeah, at all?
No.
Well, you're not, it's king's mouthful or jester's mouthful. Other people have got to do that. Surely other people do that. I thought my one was more common than... I mean, Susie's one got more take-up than mine. I can't believe this.
I was always told to eat the bits I didn't like first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but As a child, right?
As a child.
Not now.
Not now. No. I always told, eat the bits you don't like first, and then you've got all the nice bit left to the end.
Like, if you have a roast dinner, do you save the Yorkshire pudding to last?
No, because I don't like Yorkshire puddings, controversially.
Yeah, this is a real big... this really driven a wedge between me and Ed over the years. Yeah, Ed doesn't like Yorkshire puddings.
And I've already got a lot of heat on Twitter about it.
Yeah, and he deserves more. If anything, he hasn't been given enough heat on Twitter. And
I don't like it. I think it's the equivalent of having an overcooked pancake on your roast dinner.
What planet are you living on?
Who's making it? Like, have you just not had a good one?
No, I've had loads of, like, I've had what you people might call a good Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, come on, mate.
Are you talking about gay
they're
people?
A bit tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, been homophobic again. Second time in one podcast. Bad enough you're making the exit jokes.
I know what you homosexuals and your Yorkshire puddings are like.
Yeah, what you might call a Yorkshire pudding. Ed, I don't want to be associated with you.
Yorkshire pudding people, which apparently is about 98% of the UK.
What I like to do is fill up with gravy.
Oh. Yeah?
Yeah, so what you like is gravy.
No.
Put some gravy in a mug. Drink the gravy.
Drink the gravy.
I will drink the gravy, thank you very much.
Is this what your roast bat was like?
Yeah.
a lot of edits had to be made.
you drink the gravy, no, you drink the gravy, yeah. Back and forth for ages. Yeah.
Just kept passing each other a mug.
Yeah.
They were like, who brought that mug of gravy?
I'd tune in and watch that, though. If it was two people just going, you drink the gravy.
It's meant to be a roast, isn't it? Gravy. Sorry, yeah,
and that was the roast, I'd actually quite enjoy it.
Then your dad ran on.
Yeah.
And went, 50 where's quid? My gravy?
50 quid, whoever drinks the gravy. I'd like it. That's a lovely... I'm going to read your order back to you now, Susie, to make sure that you're happy with it.
Yeah, please do. God, this is the longest I've ever taken to order.
We're such fun. Sparkling water.
Yes, please.
To begin with, to quench your thirst. It's more thirst quenching. You'd like poppadoms as well with all the different dips. You would like tuna sashimi from Sexy Fish.
Yes, please.
For your starter. The main, you would like a steak... Done medium to well. A piece of fillet steak.
Piece of steak fillet.
Yeah, get it right. Duffin was potatoes, peppercorn sauce. You would like that from Hawksmoor, if possible. Side, you would like the roasted broccoli with chili from anywhere, but a little bit burnt. Maybe even cooked by your own hand, because I think you seem to...
You got the technique.
You trust that the most. Pinot Noir, Titus Burgess, Pinot Noir. For
yes,
your
please.
Drink. And the dessert, you would like your Nan's lemon drizzle cake.
Yes, please.
Sounds great to me.
I think it does sound good.
I mean,
hangs together very well as a menu.
Ed went on quite a roller coaster throughout that.
Yeah, God, what an
great
emotion!
Episode, I think.
Yeah,
I feel like I've listened to it and been on it all at the same time.
Good. And you know what? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Mm. I think you're both promising comedians.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It does mean a lot. Does mean a lot. And I'm gonna. Can I use that as a quote?
They'd be like, "Who's that bird?" Thinks a lot of herself.
You never
that
know.
Is Susie Ruffle.
That is Susie Ruffle. This is Susie Ruffle. Susie likes sashimi from this.
Here we go. Let's finish it off by all doing it once each.
Yeah, all try and do it once each. Sushi likes sashimi from the
sushi. You called her sushi. The first thing you did was call Susie sushi.
Okay. Susie likes sashimi from the sushi samba in the shard. Samba's the hardest one.
Susie likes sashimi from the sushi samba in the shard.
Susie, you said Susie Samba.
Yeah.
Susie Samba, yeah, that's okay, one of my drag names.
That's zero for two so far. Susie likes sashimi from the sushi samba in the shard. I did it. It's impossible. Try it yourself at home. But for now, thank you very much for coming into the Dream Restaurant, Susie.
It's lovely here. Thanks for having me.
Tweet your videos to Susie if you're trying the tongue twister.
Good menu.
Yummy.
Little bit of disagreement here and there about how you should cook a steak.
But she stood her ground, and that's what I respect.
Yeah, I respected it as well. Although I don't respect the steak cooking, so it sort of balances out.
But she didn't say celery, at least, so she'd get chucked out.
Thank God she didn't. If she'd said, I'd like a well-cooked steak on top of the raw celery,
yeah.
See you later, Susie.
See you later, Susie. But she didn't say it.
Well done, Susie. We've invented a new tongue twister.
We have. Susie likes sashimi from the salmon...
Okay, that's salmon. A tongue twister. James can't do it.
Susie
that's...
likes sashimi from the sushi samba in the shard, but I did a pause in between. It didn't count.
It didn't count. Right, there you go. Leave it. If you at home think you can do that tongue twister, film yourself doing it and tweet it to all of us and Susie Ruffle on Twitter.
Especially to Susie Ruffle.
And tag in at Off Menu Official, which is the Off Menu Twitter account.
Also, you can see Susie on tour and at the Edinburgh Festival. Just visit her website for details, which is...
SusieRuffle.com.
Fantastic.
Go on the Off Menu website, offmenupodcast.co.uk.
Yeah, there you go. Also, like, we're on tour, I imagine.
Yeah, probably,
and
mate.
All sorts. Watch Sweet Home Kettering on YouTube. I always like promoting that one.
You should promote that one. It's very
hits,
good.
Not enough hits on it.
Let's get the hits up on that bad boy.
Also on YouTube, from Turtle Canyon, who made Sweet Home Kettering, is Just Puddings, which is me and Ed. Well, me eating puddings and describing them to diabetic Ed Gamble.
It's a wonderful little pudding series, if that's what you enjoy. Do you ever get that where you don't know what you're going to say at the end of a sentence, so you start singing, James?
Yeah. Oh, fans of this podcast know that that's what I do. So, yeah.
Me too. Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you review. Make sure you tell your friends. And we'll see you again in the Dream Restaurant another time.
Have a lovely day.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.